I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
How does one support something like the Core Podcast? Well, it's easy, everyone. Head on over to patreon.com/coreshow and support us today. That's patreon.com/coreshow.
My dagger collection is quite extensive. That's because I'm a fan of knives. This is Core! Can you put on a shirt?
Yeah, please. It's a great idea. Hey, can I ask you a question, a little trade secret thing, Bo?
Yes.
Where do you get the files for that so early? If the character just came out today, had somebody already extracted audio from like PTR or something? Is that what happened?
Oh no! I extract myself. Oh, it's my nothing but 100% organic files straight from the client. I don't go to Sounds of the Storm like a lazy person and farm someone else's work. I farm my own files.
So you go and get free range sound files of Maiev's Shadow Bong and pull them out yourself. That's impressive.
That's right.
All right.
Now, I didn't program the application I used. I conducted a Google search, found an executable. I may have released all of my credit card information to some person because of this. I don't know. But it gave me access to the files.
Yeah. You'll send us a 4 Bitcoin or else we're not letting you have our software. I get it. It's fine. Well, that's great. It was awesome as always. And of course, that heralds in a new character this week, which we'll talk about in a second. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, and we are here to do the Heroes of the Storm podcast known as Core. We're doing it live. So hello, everybody in the chat room. It's always good to have you guys here. I have a thing to start off with, and I'd like to get it out of the way early, to be honest. You know, when something goes poorly or I'm wrong about something in life, like the time, my wife said, who left the chicken at the edge of the table? And I said, oh, I don't know who that was. Must have been one of the kids. And she says, well, the dog got on it, pulled the whole thing off, splattered all over the floor. Now everything's covered in chicken grease, and one of the dogs is sick from eating it all, and plus you had some bones. And I went, oh, man, those kids, you darn kids. But I knew the whole time, really, that it was me. I'd left it there. I couldn't remember for sure because I thought, well, was it me? I was on the edge of the table, but I think I did leave it there. So I came clean. I said, you know, I think it was me. Don't worry. I'll take care of all the dog diarrhea that will result from this, and I'll clean up all the grease on the floor. Just leave it to me. Well, I'm doing that today. with Maiev Shadowbung, and here's why. She's way cooler than I gave her credit for, okay? For weeks, months, maybe even years, because we've talked about her before as a potential character, and certainly I've had my say on the instance, the World of Warcraft podcast, about my thoughts on Maiev and whether I think she's, you know, annoying or she has a terrible skin or her helmet's impractical or all these other things. And I'm just wrong. She's really badass, super fluid and agile and a bunch of things that I just never attributed to her, because in the World of Warcraft, she is very static. She just sort of stands there because that's what her model does. And when she talks, she doesn't move her arms and gesticulate because it's covered by the cloak. So when others do that, it seems weird and obtuse anyway. When she talks, she's just there, stiff. So when we got that little in-game cinematic, it was like, oh, that's some animation. We see her move. She lives, right? And that was a little cooler. But even then, it wasn't quite enough for me. Seeing her and playing her in Heroes of the Storm has flipped me like a well-cooked burger to the other side. And I think she's super cool. And I even think that the way she dresses is cool. I think the helm is cool. Her basic kit of clothes and stuff and the way she wears her armor is cool. Her weapon is badass. All right, I'm coming clean. The whole thing's fine now. She's great. Now, I may still not call her Shadow Song or whatever her real name is forever and ever, but that's just me being a jerk. Other than that, she's great. Big thumbs up from Scott. Well done. And I'm curious if you guys have a rebuttal to my sudden turnaround on Maiev Shurplegong.
No, I was predicting it.
Oh.
I thought you were going to come around on her all along. That was my long game. I was like, well, I'm not going to win the Shadow Curtain argument.
Right.
He's too entrenched. He's built his fortress out of a shower curtain argument.
Sure.
I'll never win it. But I got to say, that's a bigger turnaround than I even expected. I thought you would come back and say, she's fun.
Yeah. But where the come around for me is, it's like, I have a better comparison. If you've ever seen the good Transformers, that is the old cartoon, which eventually became a pretty great movie, the old animated one.
Yeah.
If you saw Optimus Prime just standing and not moving, he would look stiff and lame and boring. I don't think that's a cool looking robot. When he gets cool is when he is moving. It's like, and suddenly he's a robot and his truck somehow disappeared behind him and he's standing in some cool stance. He's got his fists up and he's telling the Autobots to roll out in a voice that's too cool for school. So I think it's that, because up until now, especially in Warcraft 3, she was just this thing that stood there. Stoic, no face because she had the can on her head, and it just came off as stiff. This is her in full motion. This is her living and breathing in the Nexus and doing it in such a way that is super ninja awesome. And I think she's great. So I'm glad to hear that you were secretly sure I was going to turn on this. So we should just get with it and talk about her. Bo, Maiev is out. She's a deal in the game. She's an assassin. And she does all kinds of cool purple things. Your initial thoughts on the last couple of days? Well, I guess we've had her on the PTR for a while, but you know, if you've had any real play time with her, what did you think?
Yeah, I played her a bunch yesterday. Fun. I will admit to finding her intimidating. Her kit, that is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little challenging. I need some time to... It's a puzzle to figure out, which is kind of fun. There's some stuff that doesn't work quite how I thought it would, and I still don't understand when I'm doing lots of damage versus normal damage. I'm just like, I'm pressing buttons, things are happening, but I just don't have it clear in my mind what's what. But she's fun. She's an exciting character, and she's kind of got that that attitude to go along with it. That, you know, I'm vengeance itself.
Sure,
kind of deal.
Yeah, I like that.
I think
as
she's
well.
Great. Okay. I think she's super cool. Not gonna lie though, I played 5 or 6 games, and I went back to playing Gazlow.
Gazlow.
We'll get to that later, but wow. The past week I've put in about 40, 50 Gazlow games.
Oh, wow. I thought you were still junkratting it across the universe. I didn't realize.
Yeah, the story Gazlow had an M. Night Shyamalan-esque twist right at the very end.
No kidding. This is like finding out what, well, that spoils the movie. Never mind. But
yeah, here's the long stretch, and then we'll get back to Maiev. But like, basically, remember BlizzCon? We were in Anaheim.
Yeah.
And we did a panel, and I got up there in the panel. I was like, specialists are irritating, you know, because they push. They still do. I still think they're irritating, but it's like I've joined the dark side.
Whoa.
Ever since Mecha Battlestorm and I played a bunch of Abathur games, I was like, oh man, it's really fun to just play the game solo and make five other people miserable with your obnoxious pushing tactics.
Wow.
And I kind of did that with Junkrat, and now I've discovered Gazlow, and my life is over.
That is so all I'm doing. That now. Is so funny to hear that, because I thought the Gazlow thing, or the Junkrat fetish, whatever you want to call it, your enjoyment of him was coming from a different place. I thought that was more of a, oh, okay, I'm getting the hang of this character the way I did D.Va or somebody else, and then became fond of them. And no, you're saying it's because he plays like a horrible chaos lord in the bottom lane while nobody's paying attention. So you've like, become that thing. You've become the thing you always decried.
Yes. Let's be honest about Bo's dark side. We're going to explore the dark side here.
All right.
And I think this is true for almost everyone who plays online competitive games. But if I can legally, without hacking or without any sort of third-party applications, make someone on the other team miserable in an unsportsmanlike, if I can legit actually make someone feel bad through playing the game, I kind of enjoy doing it. and specialists are kind of that way. Those games, when you're on the losing side and you feel like you can't fight back, are kind of unenjoyable. And I've been really sort of I've basically joined the dark side.
Are you mainly doing this in solo matches and not? I mean, it's a quick match.
Take Hero League. I take my teammates' sort of efforts seriously, and you know, like it's just you don't get away with as much. But in quick match, like you can break a lot of hearts in quick match.
So I have a theory about this before I throw it to John and get his take. I have a theory about what you're discovering is what they intend, and that is that Blizzard has this thing they do where they find a thing they think is really fun and then they really want to make it work in the game. And sometimes they struggle and struggle and struggle with it. And it's across their games. They're having that problem in Overwatch with a couple of characters, specifically Mercy over the last few months has just been torn asunder by her changes and tweaks because they don't want to let her, they don't want to take away the one thing that makes her fun, even though it's possible that that one thing is ruining games in a certain meta way. And so they keep toning it down or tweaking it here and there. The same thing happens in Heroes. They know that stealth, before the stealth changes, and maybe even after, but before the stealth changes, they know that stealth is a problem. But they also know it's a really rad concept that they just want to make sure is in this game, no matter how weird it might be. And I think the same is true of healers, and I think the same is true of lane pushing specialists. They know that there's a really fun thing to do, but they know that it's hard to tune and to balance in such a way that it works best with the overall game, but they refuse to take out the core reason it's frustrating, because it can be really fun. So for a guy like you, a high-level player, you're just you're doing what they intend. You're having fun with characters that are sort of aimed at a certain end, and I don't think there's a damn thing wrong with that. I think that's great.
Let me tell you a little story and then decide if you think there's something wrong with it. Okay. Yeah. I was playing with a good friend, TBK Zord, you know, Twin Blade
Kappa.
Oh, yeah. Middle America, young man with a big grin on his face. Looks like he should have a pitchfork out there farming the land. I know the guy. Yeah.
Ryan Reeder, nice guy. Yeah. Nice guy. Great player. So he played some games with me while I was on my Gazlow kick, and we lost a couple until I told him, I said, here are my rules about playing Gazlow. One is I lane hard. Two, I merc hard. Three, if there's more than one other person in the lane with me, I run away and go somewhere else. And four, if there's a team fight, if we're not winning it immediately, I run away from the team fight and don't help. The complete opposite of everything you've never taught.
Yeah.
So we're losing a game, level 22. You know, they get the Garden Terror. Ryan says, we're going to defend. And I go, no. And I proceed to go through the jungle, and my team, they're at the keep. We've taken a keep because I'm Gazlow, and Gazlow's awesome. And one of my teammates dies, two, three, four, they all die. People are GGing in the chat. And I just go to the core and win the game. And I'm just like, yes, their tears are delicious.
Yeah.
And by all intents and purposes, in a proper game, you know, we should have lost. But and that's more what I mean. So Would you like to lose a game that way? And do you still think a solid lane pusher can cheat their way out of into a victory?
I think my explanation stands, or my theory stands, because what you just demonstrated is really fun for you more than them.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you more than them, but like an amazing moment. You're probably going to cap that one out. You're going to think upon it always. You might make a YouTube video out of it, so you'll have it there for your grandchildren. The point is, you pulled off a rad thing at the last second, one of the things that this game excels at anyway, and I think Blizzard wants to always have those things in there. It's just it clashes with so much other parts of the game that it's a constant challenge for them. Having multiple maps, every one of those maps having different lane configurations, lengths, heights, all that stuff. Every one of those maps having different merc situations, and every one of them having different and more complicated or at least diverse mechanics when it comes to map objectives. These are all things Blizzard does because they believe in their core functionality as fun things to do, but they conflict with what would otherwise be a much easier choice to have a single battleground that maybe gets reskinned or something. So I feel like you're in their zone. It's just a danger zone. It's the highway to the danger zone. Yes. Is what I'm saying. So,
I'm contemplating the possibility of bringing my Gazlo and my Abathur crap into Hero League because it's fun. Dude.
I'm all for that. I have no problem with it. I like playing with you when you play, especially Abathur. You're killing it with him. All right, so John, put some cheese on this pizza. What happened with Bo? What do we do about it?
Bo's just a bad person. Like, I like that you're making good excuses for him, but he's just a bad person.
It seemed to me of the three of us, you were gonna have the one that, or you'd be the one that might have the most beef with this. And by that, I just mean, you know, if we were in a fight and things were going badly and Bo took off because it was looking rough and he could have potentially made the difference, I think of all of us, John's going to be the least happy about that happening.
Well, if it pays off, I'm happy. But this is a game of if it pays off, I'm happy, right? Like, that's kind of how we all play. Like, Heroes of the Storm is sort of like, it's sort of like the thing I hate about Blackjack is that there's a time where you're supposed to stand. I don't play Blackjack, so people who are way into cards and poker, get ready.
Yeah.
But like, I don't, and already calling it poker when that's not even what we're talking about, but whatever. Anyway, there are times where you are supposed to hit or double down or do whatever you're supposed to do. Like, there's rules, and I hate that there are rules of when you should do these things. Like, if I want to hit on a stupid number that's bad, I should be allowed to do that. And I know that at the table, people will get mad at you because they'll feel like, oh, you denied me the card I was waiting for because you're playing really crappily. But when it pays off, you're like, well, see, it's good I took this risk because it paid off. And I kind of feel like that's the same way it works in these games. There's a way you're, quote unquote, supposed to play it. And when you don't do that, you're going to make everybody angry unless it works out. And then everybody's like, oh, OK, it worked out. That's great. That was cool. You're the best player ever. And so if I was in that situation that Bo just described and we won the game, I'd be like, oh my gosh, Bo, you're a mad champion. But probably leading up to it, when we're all dying at the keep and he's off just tromping through the woods, I probably would have been a little mad.
Yeah.
I want that title, Mad Champion.
Yeah, Mad Champion. It sounds like a good title. You can have that in World of Warcraft. That'd be a cool title.
I actually had a game where somebody played exactly like that, the way Bo explained just now, to a T. But it was a Lucio, and it didn't go well at all.
Sure.
And I was so mad, I stopped playing the game. I played, so last night I got back on and played some more games, like way late at night, way later than I should have been up.
Yeah.
But I was planning a full evening of playing Heroes. I played two games and quit, and it was this Lucio's fault that I quit. I was just like, I can't do this. I freaking lost an AI game because there was a Lucio who just would never be with the team. He just wanted to try to do merc camps by himself or be off in a lane by himself. Or when we were getting their enemy core down to 10%, he was like, oh, now's a good time to leave.
Wow. And what did you think is going on there? Like, I shouldn't assume anything, but he's your healer. He should be where everyone is. Like, that's the point of a healer.
And granted, part of it's on me. I like to try new heroes in AI. I typically, the way I do a new hero release is I do first a full AI match, then I do a co-op match, and then depending on how I'm feeling on the hero, I then move to quick match after that. Yeah. And so part of it's on me. I was in AI. You know, he definitely played at a level that should be in AI. But it was rough. It was a little bit rough.
Probably some weird new, but then that speaks to, well, what's wrong with the matching system? I guess if you're in an AI match, maybe they don't care about those, but yeah. You just ended up with somebody who's never done this before. He's 10 and going, dude, I'm making Lucio move, Dad. That's God, great,
guys,
son.
I can skate.
I got skates on. Check it out. And that may have been it. I like what 8-Bit Adventures in the chat said. He says, I have encountered such a Lucio before. So very story-like telling of his encounter.
It may be the same man. Did he have a green headset upon his ears?
Oh, my gosh, that was the one.
And 6 fingers on his right hand.
Okay, roll for initiative. Oh, we're not playing that right now.
I liked the Foley work, though.
Yeah, I have my dice at the handy all the time now, so if we ever need them, they're right here. We only really need them on Saturday, but, you know, for any reason, if anybody needs to roll a die, I now have them. Bo always had them. I think John maybe had some near him, but I've always had these off in a box in place. Nope, not now. Right here. Need a D6? Gotcha. Need a D8? No problem. I got 2 20s right there. Like the couple of testicles, one's a little lower than the other one.
It sounds like a brag, like you're about to intimidate some street toughs. You're like, I got 2 20s.
I love the idea.
I'm not going to mess with that guy.
Throwing down like Step It Up style out there with a couple of dice. It'd be great. Anyway, so there's that. Blood Anubis says I'm a big fan of the new co-host, Larry.
Me too. He's really improved. Wait. He's better.
My brain
I hear he doesn't lock his camera.
That's, yeah.
But as far as my Ev goes, I really like her. But it took a while because I had the really bad 2 games.
Oh, you were her when those games were happening. I didn't understand that. Okay. All right.
For the first half of yesterday, I had a 0% win rate on my Ev. It was bad. And it finally clicked. And I will say for anybody who wants to get into my Ev in a gameplay set, the best thing you can do is focus on her Q ability, Fan of Knives, and her D ability, Vault of the Wardens. Okay. Make that your priority to learn. If you can master those 2 abilities, it will start to click for you, because that's what it did for me. Because the other abilities are a little weird, a little circumstantial, they'll kind of come with time, but if you can get to where you're hitting multiple enemies with your Q and getting the fast reset, so you're getting that out quickly and dodging abilities properly with D, all of a sudden you'll be feeling really good on that character.
All right. And is she, I guess we can get into some of this stuff, but do you feel like she's got what's her potential in a fight? In other words, some people are going to come in like Greymane, he's going to just tear people apart and burst them down. You have other characters who are doing sustainable damage. Like, where does she fit in all that? Is she going to scare me? Is she going to make me go, oh no, I'm dying too fast? Or is she just sort of going to be there chopping away and I, you know, need to do my best to avoid her? Like, how are you feeling about that state of things with her?
She is like a melee Kael'thas. She's going to make you very aware of where you are in relation to your team. Because if you get in a position where it's you and a buddy or two close up, she is going to chunk through you faster than you can believe. You're going to be shocked at how much health you lose in a little amount of time. If it's one-on-one, she's probably not going to seem like that big of a threat.
Okay. But her, so where is she deriving most of her, is it auto attacks that are doing it? Is it her Q combined with her avoidance skills? Like, how am I feeling that all that life go away so quickly?
It's the Q. So if the Q hits more than one hero, it gets to, I think it's like a 1 second or a half second cooldown, and it hits hard. It's actually the ability on its own hits pretty good, but it's got a decent cooldown. So if it's 1v1, you're not feeling it that bad. You know, it hits you and, oh, okay, that was a decent hit. But if all of a sudden she's spamming it every couple of seconds, in addition to auto attacking you, all of a sudden she's gone from, you know, poking to, oh, this is a serious threat. This is a problem.
Mm. Okay. Trying to decide how I feel about that. I normally don't like abilities that depend on proximity. Like, I'm not a big fan of, like, as long as there are two people in front of you, you now do this. Or as long as there's a wall nearby, then you can do this. Like, I kind of prefer the autonomous character more, that can just be a danger in whatever way they're a danger on their own without any kind of weird circumstantial thing. But it sounds like that's her. Like, that's her thing, is to, she needs that additional body in front of her to truly maximize her damage potential. And maybe that's fine.
Definitely is the thing that pushes her into, you know, there's a lot of people crying nerf already on her, which is not uncommon for new heroes. I don't know if I'm there yet. We've had people link us videos. I've seen some of the crazy videos of people doing insane things with her. And I think that potential comes up when you have the clumped up characters and the quick resets.
Yeah.
But when it's, I think she still can do okay even by herself. She's just not that impressive.
Okay. John or Bo, you agree? Like, in terms of, I know you've been playing a lot more Gazlo than her, but.
Yeah, no, but I got in 5 or 6 games total. I think what resonated with me, what John said, is that I was playing solo, so when I got paired up versus a Maiev with who had like a teammate, like one had a Medivh pocket like protector, yes. I guess that's what you call a Medivh, when it was just exclusively healing you as a pocket, not a pocket
he just
healer,
sits there, right,
a
in pocket the
protector. like it was really irritating. So yeah, I would say her power level increases, but I'll be honest. I still can't wrap my head around when I'm doing lots of damage versus when I'm doing poopy damage. Mm. I was kind of too caught up trying to do fancy moves for the first while. So one thing that is a huge disappointment that I'm putting on blast here, and it's probably balanced, so maybe it's okay, but when you press E, mm-hmm. that's the Vengeance Ghost,
right?
And it goes out. And what I try to do is press W for my Umbrella Bind, and then yeah. I hook someone. You know, so I'm going to pull them. But by now, since I pressed E first, behind me, the E is going like into my base.
Yeah.
So with the tether on, I press E and teleport to my base. Now, the way I expect this to work is for the Umbrella Bind to go, oh, crap, you're outside, and pull them to me.
Mm.
But it actually doesn't pull all the way. It pulls like some set distance. So it'll pull you if you don't use the E, if that isn't an issue. What it normally does is the pull pulls the character, the enemy hero, to your position.
Mm-hmm.
But if you teleport out and do fancy trick, it doesn't do what the tooltip says. It doesn't pull to her position. It pulls to some cheating position in favor of the enemy team, basically, as far as I can tell. And I didn't. That was a turnoff to me because it might. When I say it out loud, when I think about it, I'm like, oh, it seems overpowered if we have it my way.
Yeah.
But that's what I was really looking forward to. And we don't get that.
Because what you're describing is almost like a non-ingesting version of Engorge or something.
It's like a hook. It's like, you know what? You know, they've learned this lesson with Artanis. They mm-hmm. didn't give Artanis his phase prism and slash dash combo because they feared it would be OP.
Yeah.
Like, I think if Maiev's OP right now, because I hear her win rates are really high and her stuff is really splashy, probably because her damage is tuned up too high. I think her identity is the crowd control effects that she would bring to a team composition. So she shouldn't be doing a ton of damage. Like, the fact that she has a lot of crowd control should mean she does less damage than a damaged dude, I guess.
You'd normally, I would think that as well. That seems logical. But she's in the, I was looking at the numbers. She's at like 61% win rate on Hotslogs, which is pretty high.
Also pairs very, very well with a lot of heroes that are popular right now. Mm. Her ability to kind of focus things into one area. I had a game where I had a Genji and a Butcher on my team, and it was just ugly. It was not pretty, the things that would happen to people as soon as the little wardens came up and confined everybody. Mm-hmm. It's so much damage all at once. So
you think that circle should be brought in like half? Don't you think that circle is like way too big?
It's big. I think I think the balance part of it, or at least what they consider the balance part of it, is the delay of it coming up. Because I've certainly had plenty of times where I've like landed it and felt really good about it, and everybody's outside of it because it takes a, you know, a half a second or whatever it is to pop up. But I can see that. But also, I would think that if they made it smaller, it might actually be a buff because now you're containing them in an even smaller area.
Okay.
It's but I don't know. It's hard to say because you can, you know, use up one of the pushes and then funnel your way out. So I don't know.
You were talking last week how you didn't think we were going to use that ultimate very much, that wouldn't be the go-to. Have you changed your mind on that?
Yeah.
I thought it was me.
Either of you. But,
well, we can both answer. I would say yes. Bo, what would you say?
I would say probably yes. I spent all my games with containment disc, which is awesome and easy to hit, by the way. Yeah. But it looks to me like the other one's very powerful for team wombos.
Okay. And containment disc, remind me, basically is like wrapping them, for,
it's a cocoon. Yeah. The time stops in 4 seconds. The one benefit is you have these, psych out things because there's a 6 second, you hit somebody with it and then there's a 6 second window where you can activate it. Mm. So you can activate it right away or you can wait the full duration and you can kind of play mind games with your prey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I still think it's the alt I like better because it will cancel out a Lili or, you know, just a Malthiel alting in the group. I think bigger picture, it's still the better ultimate, but the other ultimate's really strong too, apparently. So,
all right.
Yeah. My big thought on it, and again, going back to calling her, you know, a comparison to like Kael'thas, is imagine if Kael'thas with his living bombs had a way to contain you all in one tight space. That's essentially what this can potentially do. So I think that's why I've ultimately landed on liking it better, is I realized quickly how much more damage she does when you can hit multiple with Fan of Knives. So anything that can contain a whole bunch of people just makes her damage output go crazy.
Yeah. Well,
that sounds... What about you, Scott? You said you played some games.
A little bit. I didn't play a ton. I got maybe two real games in and otherwise played a whole lot in try mode and a couple of little quick AI things that I quit early and that sort of stuff, just to sort of, I don't know, meal around and feel better about like, where
that you
about
quit
tonight.
Early. What happened that you were like, I'm done with this game?
Well, in like AI matches, I'll tell you how AI matches are for me now. When I start one, it's rare that I really, really want to do that. Like I hate to go to fruition. Because even though it may be a shorter match, you put them all on easy and just kind of crank through it. It just feels, I don't know. There's a weird empty feeling to finishing an AI match for me. I know for some people it's a fine way to play the game and a great way to ramp a character up and learn the stuff before you go and face people and all that. I have no problem with any of that. But my time in AI matches have never been, it feels like I'm being counterproductive in a lifestyle kind of way. And so I have to get the H out. So what I'll usually do is go in and we maybe get a couple of, you know, keeps down and then I'll go, all right, I'm good. I'm going to get out of here. And then but usually what that means, I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to go play a real game. And then I'll go play a real 5-on-5 quick match or something. But in the couple that I got into, she felt pretty good to me. Like I say, her cool factor is off the charts for me. I think she's super badass, but I am a little bit, Bo said it earlier, I'm a little bit like I was with, and still am to some degree, with characters like John DeLancey. What's his freaking
Alarak.
Alarak. It's the way I am with Alarak.
Oh, he's the best.
He's pretty great by all accounts, but I still feel like he feels unwieldy to me, like I'm never doing it right. And that would come with more practice and focus, and I haven't given it to him, but that's kind of how I feel with her initially. That's not always true of a new character for me. Sometimes I just click right away. I'm like, oh, okay, I totally get it. And then there are other times where it just takes a while to kind of figure out, you know, combos and rotations. And sometimes they're so vastly different than what I have been playing that it just feels like muscle memory confusion. So there's some of that going on with her for me. But I mean, two games isn't enough to do anything, really. So
yeah, I totally get that too. I feel a little awkward with her. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm
sure I don't know the optimal together. Combos. Mm-hmm. There've been a couple times where I've lost my character. I'll let me admit here, I've lost my character. Like I didn't know where I ended up.
Wow.
Because I tapped E and then And I tapped E again and somehow blinked somewhere. And I'm like, where's my guy? What am I doing? And we win the fight and I find my guy and I'm like, okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's pretend what I did in there was really awesome.
You know what happens? Every time she's stuck in a vent or a bush for more than a half a second, that's 10,000 years for a warden. So you have to be careful. Yeah.
It's a long time.
Yeah. Oh. You don't want to mess her up. I mean, if we're sticking to the lore, I guess it's not really her problem. It's more Illidan's problem, but whatever.
In a bush? Was she stuck in a bush for 10,000 years?
I don't know. I was just sort of making it up.
Bo got very serious about this. Really thinking like, about that's it.
I wasn't sure if I was missing something. I was like,
Nah, she's fine. Whatever. She'll be in there. She'll probably get played in one of our quick matchy, warm-up-y team league things tonight. So watch for that. I'm actually kind of want to watch. I always like to do, when there's a character I'm not feeling super confident with, I always like watching one of you play. There's something about that that's like, I don't know. I don't know what the word is. It's not like you're showing me how to play.
Educational. It's just, no, but it's just you see, oh, you press W, then the Q. I'll try that next time I play.
And it also helps me to get a feel to know how I have to play with her as another character, like in the team composition. That informs me more about her character and needs and uses than it does sometimes just playing her raw like that. It's hard to explain, but. I'm sure this isn't, there's probably a better way to say it, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this, but sometimes that's a great way for me to get to know a character is by fighting alongside of it before I really get into it. So anyway, there's that. She's great. Check her out. She'll probably get nerfed. John, you asked the question here. This is at least an interesting one. When was the last time we all got hooked on the same character at the same time? This may not be a case of all three of us getting hooked on it, but that's happened before, I think. When was the last time?
I'm trying to remember when it was, because I didn't know that Bo's games had been. And I just saw him playing a lot of heroes, so I assumed it was Maiev.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to remember the last time we all were 100% hooked on the same hero at the same time, where we actually like kind of stopped playing with each other because we all wanted to play the same character.
I don't think hasn't happened in a long time.
I feel like Tracer may have been a bit of a problem that way, but just a little.
Li Ming?
I know Bo and I traded off on Kel'Thuzad a bit.
Yeah. I still haven't really played him. It's not really my guy.
Did we all play Garrosh? Or I think
that may have been a Bo-John
thing. I played
a
ton of Garrosh. Are you kidding? I remember those days.
That was more of a Bo-John thing, I think, so much as a...
You not remember me throwing you all the time and you'd be like, don't throw me.
No, I couldn't remember if Scott got into him. I knew you did, and I knew I did.
I liked him for a hot few levels, and then I kind of fell off of Garrosh. I don't know why. I don't know what happened there.
Varian, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe Varian. I did play Varian. Oh, you know what? Varian was pretty bad at first. I was playing a lot of Twin Blades Varian because that was the way to play him at first. And I thought
John and I would play a lot of Valyra.
Yeah, that was one that you and I, we would be playing on at the same time, and we would actually message each other and be like, you want to play games? Yeah, I'm just playing Valyra. Okay, well, good luck in your games then.
Yeah, that was one of those where I had no one to play with because I don't play Valyra at all. So I was like, well, while they're fighting over her, it was like you were two dogs pulling a piece of beef apart. I was over there pretending that, I don't know, Stukov's the best.
Yeah, I say it's usually two of three.
Yeah, that's true. That's generally true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Artanis was all. No, Scott, you didn't really play Artanis.
Not really. When there's a character that one of you is super into, I keep my distance. And it isn't because I don't want to play it. I just feel like I want to play with you and I want you to be having fun, but also you're kicking A with whatever character it is, or else you wouldn't be enjoying it so much. So in those Artanis days, it was like, oh, I kind of want to learn Artanis, but I'd much rather play with John's Artanis and do some other character. Or I'd rather play with Bo's Garrosh than, fight over getting him. This all sounds bad. Or you want Axe period of our lives. I remember that. Nobody could touch. I felt like nobody could touch Zul'jin because Bo had a contract with him. But it was okay because
he's so good. Yeah, trolls are great. Another troll in the game.
Oh please!
Zul'jin was one I was afraid to play because of how into it Bo got. I was just like, I can't play this character.
We don't have licking rules on these guys. You know, if you really want to play, just tell me.
No, I know, but that one you licked aggressive.
Yeah, You did. You were aggressive licker.
You want lick?
Ugh, troll licking. It's gross. Anyway, it's a fun time to be a Maiev Shadowbong fan, so get in while the getting's hot. All right, let's talk about the PTR patch happened. There were some changes, and not the least of which, of course, was the launch of Maiev. But she launched a little bit different than she did before. And the notes don't even indicate this, but she was she now has natural 10 armor, which used to be 15. So she's lost 5 of her baked-in armor. That may not be where she's a problem, so I don't know why that happened, but whatever. Sometimes this stuff happens. They, you know, they spend a week on the PTR, and then they hit with a new, with a slight tweak to some number, and nobody got told why. And that's fine.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. The original PTR didn't say anything about the armor, and you could see it in game, but the original notes didn't say anything. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, and now instead of 15, it's actually 10.
Yeah. So there you go. 10 armor. Use it wisely, I suppose. Oh, does she feel to you guys a little squishy? Because she did to me. I'm probably not using my D, right? Got to use that D, you know? And I wasn't
using
it.
Did you play
with
any tanks on your team?
I think so. I think there may have been.
Because my quick match experience has been mostly tankless, so you end up being the de facto tank, and that doesn't work too good.
Yeah, she felt squishy. Yeah.
She felt kind of like a Malthiel and a Zul'jin in that she feels like, even though she has armor and things like that, she's one of those characters that rides the knife's edge. You're going to be in that fight, and you need to commit to it and be in it and do what you got to do, because if you're playing cautiously, you're not going to be playing right. Yeah. And if you stay in the way you should, you either live or you die.
Yeah.
She kind of feels like one of those heroes.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Let's see what else. Genji. No, sorry. Volskaya. So Volskaya Industries, not Industries, Foundry. Getting all this stuff confused. Turrets are now placed instantly and they act like totems. Healing acts like totem. Sorry. Like a healing totem. Now, I always thought turrets were instant. So where was I all this time?
No, there's a quick channel. It's really quick. I think it's 0.5 seconds, maybe 1 second. And if there's a channel bar, it just bloop, fills up.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I missed
that. It doesn't do it anymore. So
okay.
I'm so happy about this change. The amount of times I died with a turret because I expected it to be fast and instant and it wasn't. And it's just, well, all right.
Well, you can cancel it too. If you press F and right click in a hurry, you'll cancel your own placements.
That's what I did.
Yeah,
what I did all the time.
I did not ever notice that. I guess I wasn't doing a lot of turret work, but I guess that's fine. That map has grown on me a lot. I like it, and I like it when it rolls. Yeah, map. I think it's fun. I like being in the mech. I think that they made that genuinely fun. So there's that.
I know a few little secrets of Gazla too on this map.
Oh.
So if you sneak to the enemy bottom fort, you know where point C is?
Yeah.
You can put your turrets on the conveyor belt.
Okay.
And it'll push it towards their fountain. You just keep feeding turrets in until you kill them.
Oh my god.
It's so good.
That feels like something they're gonna change. And now that you've said it.
Don't tell Blizzard. There's nobody from Blizzard listens to this show.
No,
so
no. We're in the clear.
But yeah. it was a great little trick. I was just standing there, just putting turrets into the conveyor.
I'm surprised they haven't figured out a way to get this engine to block anything that there's still a wall standing for behind it, meaning outside of nukes. Like I don't think Blizzard wants you to be able to slowly chip away at anything that's there that is outside of tower range. Like any of that's going to piss them off. So I'm surprised there's not just some blanket like everything has unlimited hit points unless there's some other reason there's a wall is down or a tower is down or something like that.
Well, they moved some of the fountains around because one of the things they used to be able to do on Tomb with Li Ming is just snipe the fountains.
Yeah.
Like you start a match and you do nothing but go into like hidey holes and launch orbs and magic missiles. And if you die, who cares? Your mission is to kill all three of the fountains as soon as possible. With Li Ming, and it works pretty effectively. Learned that thanks to Mage Wars.
Can she still do that? Yeah. She can't do that now, can she?
I don't know. I haven't tried it since they moved the fountains around, but I think she still can, actually, on that map.
Wow.
Was people sniping fountains that caused them to add shielding as a part of the fountain health to begin with. Like,
oh, right.
these strategies have been around for a while. I think it's so good that Bo found another
That's so cheesy.
Well, because it like, also that map is so great for Gazlo, because point C, you know, there's the circly conveyor belt.
Mm-hmm.
You put your turrets on there, and when the enemy arrives, because you have to get there first,
yeah,
they're just like, they don't want to go in because there's just this like endless chain of turrets spinning around. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And also put the extra big turret on there, and you have a merry-go-round.
Right. So you have
you have a big turret, and you've got your little, there's like 18 turrets on the damn thing. Not 18. You can have probably get three or four on there.
You walked that,
but that's plenty. That is plenty. It's when Tracer comes in, Tracer doesn't last long with a bunch of turrets peppering her, so it's pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds good. Now I want to see this. I want to see this Master Gazlo play tonight in our in our games.
And we might not want to do that. We are playing with John. And I guarantee you, I will not be, I will no be nowhere near any team fights, and I will not be doing anything productive on the map.
Yeah.
So, John, if you're prepared to handle it, then we'll do it.
Well, if you play Gazlo in a ranked game, you're not going to do stuff that would cause your crap to go down. So, you know, you could still be effective with him and not.
No, I don't think you can be effective with Gazlo and play him the right, play heroes the right way. That doesn't work.
That's hilarious.
You have to be
Think of what you just said.
Obnoxious. You have to be obnoxious, selfish, self-centered, and you'll win games. And if you don't win them, you get to play Gazlo, so it's fine.
That's really funny to me.
That's how that works. That's how Gazlo works, everyone.
All right.
There you go.
And you said healing acts like a totem. Up till now, it's just been a little poop you did, right? You basically created a little lingering fart, and if you stood around it, you get heals. Now what? It drops like a item on the ground. You got to stay near it.
Like, if you ever played any supports that dropped a totem, like Lili might have one might have had one.
Yeah.
Just like that, except looks cooler. It's got a cool little.
It's like, what's his name? Which is the one? Oh, I used to sometimes use it with Tassadar sometimes. And Tassadar, wasn't a totem, but it was a healing thing. Now, what am I thinking of? Who am I thinking
Lucio
of?
Lucio and his boombox?
No, somebody.
Rhaegar had one. I think once upon a time, Carl Jim had one.
Maybe Carl Jim's who I'm thinking of. Because you could choose it at one point, and it was like, it was an actual totem. Yeah. That's who I'm thinking of is Carl Jim. He would drop a totem. It'd be a kind of a weird pick at that level, but it was usually when I felt like, you know, people are dying quick.
He still has the mystic ally, the green one, that heals 2% per second, I think. Mm-hmm. So it does the same thing.
Same deal, yeah. They just made it more. Instead of him having a pocket full of totems for no reason, it was an actual thing that fit his lore better, like they've been doing in the game. But so that's how that acts now. It's no longer like John popped a fart and we all stand in his grace. He has to put it on the ground, and now we have to be around it if we want any healing benefit out of it.
That now has been relegated to just real-life interactions.
Perfect. That's great. That's what I always wanted anyway. Breathe it in, folks. Let's see. Genji, surprise nerfs. What happened to him?
His Dragon Blade got its damage reduced from 240 to 220, and the Dragon Becomes Me talent at level 20. Bonus duration was decreased from 0.75 seconds to 0.5 seconds per hero hit. Mm. So they nerfed his ult.
So the Shimada Brothers combination has yielded a couple of nerfs. That and then Hanzo too. As you put in here, nerfed like his brother before him.
Yeah.
What were his? Were they significant? Oh, I don't know if you guys heard, there's some talk from the Overwatch team of getting now. They said other things are possible, but one of the options they're considering is getting rid of his ricochet shot or his, what is it called? When you bounce it off walls.
Scattershot.
Scattershot. They're thinking of removing Scattershot from Overwatch. And the reason I think that's important to mention, if they end up doing that, and I don't think they will. I think they'll figure out another way to do it. It's like removing Mercy's res. Like, they would solve all of Mercy's problems if they got rid of her res, but they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So I think it's the same with that. There's certain characters he's just one-shotting by ricocheting on the floor perfectly and then just killing Orisa and people like that in a single shot, and they think it's ruining games. So anyway, the point is, we haven't had this happen yet where, because Overwatch is really uniquely situated to be a set of mechanics per character that translate almost directly over to Heroes of the Storm. Almost. Not entirely, but for the most part, they kind of come straight over. And they're iconic things, like the ricochet shot thing, scatter shot rather, for Lucio, his right click boop thing. They have it in this as your cue, and so on. If they remove something significant like that from the game it came from, like Scattershot no longer part of Overwatch, that's weird, isn't it? Isn't that a little weird?
It's weird, but I think I'd rather from a game design philosophy that they adhere to what improves the game versus what is canon, right?
Yeah.
It is weird, which is why it's almost... Which is why the Overwatch translations are kind of weird to begin with, because there's nothing stopping them from taking an Overwatch hero and saying, you know what, Swift Strike on Genji doesn't belong in Heroes of the Storm. We had it. It's cool, but it's a ridiculous mobility effect that nobody in this game probably should have. Yeah. Let's just give him a big ninja star or whatever cool other thing that he doesn't get in Overwatch.
Yeah,
which I don't think we see that a lot. Like, besides second ultimates, we don't see kits that stray far from them with Overwatch, do we?
No, not really. So. That's my whole point. And it's funny because I understand why. There's a couple of reasons why. It's this great philosophical talk we could have about this. But in the case of, like, in World of Warcraft, we get Maiev. We really don't have anything to base her stuff on. We don't even know what role she'll be until they tell us. Because why? Because we don't know. Same with Thrall. He could have been a tank or a shaman or some other thing. But no, they made him assassin and they focused on a few things that are cool elemental abilities, but it's not like we're going, oh, that's not like he was in WoW. Well, it's because he wasn't any of those things in WoW or Warcraft 3 before that. So they can get away with it with just every other IP, and they can just tweak it. Now, Diablo scooches a little closer to the line and says, well, if you're going to make Nazebo, better have some frogs, better new the zombie wall, better have, you know, that stuff, the spiders, that stuff's got to feel like it comes from Diablo. So mechanics to mechanics, a little closer there with all those characters. Then you come to Overwatch, where it's almost got the exact same control scheme in terms of you got these two or three things plus an ultimate. That matches really well with a MOBA. And so much of who these characters are aren't about backstory, aren't about the three games they were in before this game came out. It's about their kit and what they do on the battlefield. So you get this much closer translation. And I think that's both hard to avoid and also difficult to tweak with later. So I talked about taking one away from Hanzo. They also, not that long ago, it's been a while now, but they added those homing missiles to D.Va in Overwatch. And they're awesome. It's my favorite thing in her kit. I freaking love it. And it's got a small cooldown, and I can do serious damage, and it puts people in corners. It's great. But they didn't bring that over to Heroes. And why would they? I mean, maybe they will at some point, but the opposite has happened. Lucio got his ring in Heroes of the Storm, and they went back and added that to Overwatch because it made, you know, whatever sense it made over there. So
this this could be a dangerous conversation that dovetails into release schedule.
It could.
Heroes has an aggressive hero release schedule.
Yeah, that's
true. And I don't know. They can't just add infinite amount of people to balance the game, so that committed team to the game only has so much time to pay attention to so many problems. You know, I think the game, and they said this at BlizzCon, that they would reduce the amount of heroes they're releasing. The hope for me is that it's to spend more time looking at, like, things like Swift Strike. Like, honestly, I love Swift Strike on Genji. It's way too low. That thing needs to be cut in half. There's a lot of tweaks and nuance that will improve the game that doesn't have to match whatever IP it comes from. That just needs to happen for the game.
Right.
I'm sure there's a huge list. So,
and I'm fine John with that. Say something. Oh, yeah, go ahead, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's interesting because let's say we live in a world where D.Va starts getting designed for heroes now. I bet those homing missiles are in the kit, you know, and we don't know that for sure, but I do think there's an interesting discussion or theorizing that we can do where it's a case of they look at it and they say, well, this is the kit. How do we translate it as it currently stands? Whereas Overwatch is sitting there saying, we can do whatever we want with it. Yeah. You know, we need to try to stay true to the character, but I know when I played Overwatch, I thought Hanzo's scatter arrow was the worst thing in the world, and I'm not surprised to hear that they're changing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are people really good with Hanzo? I thought it was just you get lucky.
No,
sometimes.
Hanzo is like right now he is considered. I mean, part of it's because these pro games have shown all kinds of things that characters shouldn't be able to do, and things are getting nerfed left and right as a result. But, you know, they nerfed the hell out of Junkrat, and he's got even more coming. But he has this uncanny ability in these pro games to throw his concussion mines, which, by the way, he gets two of in Overwatch now. Doesn't have the one anymore. Yeah. So you go, you can throw one and blow it up, or throw one and a second and blow them both up if you want, or throw one, blow it up, throw the second one, blow it up, and then you have a cooldown.
Can you juggle yourself in midair doing that stuff?
Probably. I don't know if I've seen much of that.
Oh, no, they blow up at the same time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they do. They totally
It'd be cool if they did, and you could just fly in the air.
Yeah, but he's anyways. Pretty crazy, and I've seen him, you know, take a... You know, be just running around, look up in the corner, go, oh, there's a Pharah. Bam, she's out of the sky dead because he just is a perfect shot with his grenade thrower thing. And they're not his grenade thrower, but his mine. And then he'll come around the corner and, oh, there's a Widowmaker in the cubbyhole, throws the next one up there, bam, she's dead. Like, they do crazy things at the professional level in that game. So they keep tweaking stuff. So I don't expect them to give me an extra concussion mine in Heroes. Maybe they could talent that in later. But why does it feel like they should? Not that they should. I'm not saying I want them to. But there's this feeling of, well, you kind of have to, right? Because they're so analogous to each other. They're not just an NPC I talked to in WoW once. They're these characters that played a certain way, and now they play the same way except three patches ago in a whole different game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, and people come over and want to be... They're going to come over to Heroes and be immediately familiar with what they do, even if they're terrible at Heroes, right? I played that guy who plays level 2 under Tracer, plays Tracer the exact same way in both games, and so that makes it easy maybe for that person to come up.
Right. And
I think it works both ways. I mean, one of the things we've said on this show is I kind of wish they didn't have to come over one for one.
Right.
And so in that regard, it doesn't seem weird to me. Like, it seems okay that it's not one to one. Because that's kind of what I wish they were doing to begin with.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that either. I'll bet though, if they're honest, if you sat down with the artists, designers, concept dudes, people in charge of Hero launches, and said, what do you prefer? I'll bet they prefer the WoW and StarCraft stuff because they can just go places they don't. It's undiscovered country, right?
Yeah.
So to make Tassadar do what he does, you know kind of what a, what's he called? What's his unit?
High Templar.
Whose unit
High
are Templar. We talking about?
The Templar.
Yeah, his Templar, his electric floor thing is reminiscent of what it used to be in the RTS or what it is in the RTS. But you can go so much further with Tassadar and create so much more around him than you can Tracer. She has to have quick loading pistols. She has to zip back and forth. It's not like you're going to make her a tank or make her a specialist or have her do weird shit that doesn't really match anything. Do we even have a specialist from Overwatch? We don't. There's no such thing. They're all assassins or tanks.
We do.
Yeah. They're all assassins or tanks, well, in support. But there's nothing that you would consider that. So even though, I mean, I think Bo's figured out a way to make Junkrat that. But you know, it's an interesting, I don't know. To me, it's just an interesting twist in what it takes to make these heroes in this game from their existing IPs. And the decision to include Overwatch in that, I think, is a hard one for them. I think it's good that they're doing it, but I'll bet it's hard.
I want to ask you guys a question in that same vein. And this is going to sound like I'm asking you to maybe make a jaded statement, and I apologize. But do you think they do that because... And they have said that they get a lot of oversight from the Overwatch team when they add an Overwatch hero. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is the result of the Overwatch team telling them what they should do? Do you think this is them feeling pressure that, hey, Overwatch is a very big, popular game, and if we're going to bring the hero over, we should match it as closely as possible because then maybe we hook Overwatch characters? Or do you think it's genuine, like, hey, we're a fan of these characters from this game, so this is what we wanted to do with these characters?
I get the feeling it's a little of both of those things. I think column one and column two in that way, but I don't think it's an uncomfortable place. I think what it is they had to sort of make a big, higher up decision at some point to say, this is going to be our philosophy when we move these characters over, because they just, they're just a unique challenge. And so the goal will be to replicate them. And me, and then on that, you can say on the other side of that, well, that will help players coming from Overwatch to Heroes to be more familiar with the thing they came over for. You know, so I think there's a benefit to that. I don't think it's like a pressure thing. I mean, I could be wrong. This could be totally wrong. They may, for all I know, they resent the hell out of that team and they can't stand it. but I doubt it. Like I said, they took Lucio stuff back to the other game. Now, whether that was initiated by which side, who knows? But that was a smart move. That was them, seemingly, at least from our view, that was us going, oh yeah, see how we have this visual representation of what Lucio is capable of in at any given moment. Wouldn't that be cool if that was also in the shooter and they figured out a way to do it? So it's the only example of that I can think of at the moment, where it went back the other direction. But yeah, I mean, I think it's probably a little bit of both. And I think it's harder for them because they just have to be a little more straight about it and they can't get too creative. Whereas your argument that you wish they could be more creative with it, I totally agree with that. Totally agree.
Yeah. Well, one place they do have some of that freedom is in talents, which doesn't exist in Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just worth mentioning, just to bring up, since we're having a fulsome discussion about it, just to include the fact that they're like them. What I really liked about Junkrat was the talent that the toothy, the bitey things, that doesn't happen in Overwatch, right?
No, the
steel trap just sits still, but you get the clampity teeth that go.
Yeah. But in the case of Heroes, though, they made it indestructible, whereas in Overwatch, you can blow that thing up.
Yeah.
So there
are changes and adjustments that are game specific to them. So just in the fullness of discussion,
mm-hmm.
we should mention that talents do customize the characters.
Also, Junkrat's actually a really good example of this. While he character wise and sort of vibe and all that is a really good translation of what he is in Overwatch, he's maybe had the most tweaks to what he is. So his like you say, his chompy thing, and its ability to stay and never blow up unless you put down a new one, or unless it bites somebody. That's not the case in the other game. Also, just the way he does his natural shooting in the old game is just fire four balls, reload, fire four balls, reload. That's just his ammo. In here, you have kind of a baked-in ammo that's an auto attack, but then you have your four balls that are treated totally separately from your regular shots. And the regular shots are homing. They don't have to hit by accident or, you know, be part of the chaos. They will find their target because you're auto attacking. So
right.
In some ways they're showing with Junkrat a willingness to step away just a tiny bit without losing the essence of who he is. You know,
they do have to make concessions to the genre that they're playing in, right? Like just
right.
FPS and MOBA needs yeah. these things. I just think with the base kits, it's still, I think that the QWE aspect of a hero is a core identity from Overwatch, like, and it's just literally ripped from Overwatch to Heroes, right. basically. And so when you talk about Hanzo getting basically, I don't know if it's his W, but his shift key, whatever that makes the, you know, getting that replaced is like a dissonance with that sort of policy.
Yeah, it is weird to have it completely gone and have something else happen. That hasn't happened yet. This is all, you know, speculation, but they are talking about right. that being on the table.
What do you think they give him? Like a?
I have no idea what they do with him. Because, I mean, right now he's such a, I don't know. There's some people, he used to be just considered, oh, lucky shot Billy there, right? Just getting shots, whatever. But he is a lot more skilly now than he used to be. At least he feels that way when I play him. I don't know. I don't know what he needs. But then Blizzard always figures this stuff out. In Heroes also, they'll replace a thing and I'll go, oh, mind control with Sylvanas is so much cooler than I thought it was. You know, I wouldn't have thought how cool they could implement it. So,
is there anything Batman has, like a grappling hook or something?
I bet he uses his best voice line and says, sake. And then he drinks. And then all of his damage is increased, but he gets blurred drunk vision.
I like it. You've done
That's pretty good.
You've done
pretty
it. Good. Why aren't you working at Blizzard? Screw this. yeah, so we'll see. Oh, and the other weird difference is, like in D.Va's case, she's so much like her character in the other game, except for that shield thing. A, shoots at the ground, like it's like a projection on the ground in Heroes, and it doesn't deflect all damage, it just reduces it. In Overwatch, it full-on stops all damage during its duration of any kind and shoots straight out ahead of her. So, you know, like you said, concessions for the game. That's just the way it works. It's a fun to top a fun topic to have, though, don't you think, chat room? Of course you do. I'll give you a minute to answer that because you got the lay going. All right, let's move on. But well, we didn't even get to Morales and her nerf.
Yeah, and Greymane has nerfs and Hanzo. There's Greymane, they're all pretty significant.
Yeah. What happened to Greymane? What's his big
So the Greymane, I think, looks like it's actually not that bad. It just looks like his Gilnane cocktail has had some damage reductions to it. But I think they got rid of Draught Overflow. That's interesting. So it's just, I think they wanted, so he's very versatile, but his Q build is the build.
Yeah.
No matter if you take no talents, your Worgen form is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So basically they've targeted nerfs to the Q build so that you could take wolf stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Wolf stuff's cool. I like wolves.
But the Wizened Duelist.
Hey, you into wolf stuff?
The Wizened Duelist change is actually good if you are, just PSA for all you players out there who might be too scared to take a stacks lost on death, grim task kind of talent. It's now you get a stack, an extra 1% of damage for every auto attack, for every 6 attacks against an enemy hero. But if you're in Worgen form, it's triple. You gain triple stacks, and only half are lost on death. So this is a buff to that talent because you won't lose as much when you die, and it's still a 30% increase fully stacked. So cool. That's cool.
Back when I played StarCraft 1 and Brood War, I remember when patch notes would come out for tweaks, and it would be stuff that would change, and I'd go, oh, well, I'll just make an extra Zergling, and that basically is back to where it was. Or, oh, that's fine, I'll put up an extra bunker, and who cares? Like, I could think of the exact thing that you could add or do or tweak that would pretty much get you back to where you were pre-patch, but it required an extra 300 crystals to buy a thing or whatever. It's so much different in this game. Like, every time a change happens, you're like, oh, shit. I get that they want me to try the quest talent for wolf form, but I don't really want to do that. You know, like, it feels like they push you in directions sometimes now. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying this game's hard to balance. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, hats off to them.
Amen.
Yeah. Although I'd rather see buffs than nerfs. Raise the nerfs. No, raise the buffs, drop the nerfs. You know how the old saying goes from Syndrome, from the thing? When everybody's super, nobody is.
Yeah. Patching Heroes of the Storm is exactly like The Incredibles.
I can't wait to see how they do it in the sequel. Okay.
I know. I'm very curious. Although, am I the only one? Sorry, this is a dumb tangent. We shouldn't even do it. But am I the only one that's surprised that they haven't, like, aged more? That, like, he's still a baby, like that this is like that direct of a sequel?
Oh yeah, it's like straight up in the same exact timeline. I think the reason they're doing that is the only person that was a kid doing voices was Dash, I think, and you could just replace him with any actor kid.
Everybody you think they're gonna replace him? You don't think he's gonna show up? Hi guys.
How's it going? Hey everybody, what's going on? Like, he's not gonna be that. He's gonna be some other kid. But I think everybody else, they were already like adults and then some. Like Craig T. Nelson, and they'll just play who they are. So it doesn't surprise me too much. But part of me did want to see, hey, what's it like? What's Grandpa Incredible up to? And what happened with his kids? It's your kids, Marty. I wanted to kind of go there, you know?
Yeah.
But nope, not happening. That is a nice aside. I liked it, John. Well done.
All right. Thank you.
What happened with Morales? She can't heal just any old random wizard or a freaking minion now, huh? Or a merc.
Nope, that's gone. She doesn't care anymore.
That sucks.
They removed her ability to care for lesser beings.
I don't like that. I liked doing that once in a while. It was kind of a fun way to piss off somebody in a lane who was dominating me, yet I could keep a merc alive. You know? That was all right. That was a thing I could do.
Well, not anymore.
I will admit, though, I did it way less when she moved to energy and got rid of mana. Because now you're really messing with a resource that you need to be kind of ready to have because it's so such a bursty resource and you get rid of it so quick. So I did it less anyway. So this isn't really going to affect me, but still I don't like nerfs.
One isn't in here, but before we move on, there's one other, we probably talked about it last week. Cause these are changes from last week's PTR patch notes and not the things we're running through.
All right.
But I played against quite a few Malthiels. Have you guys played against Malthiel yesterday?
No,
today?
No,
not since the changes.
He feels a little on the re- ridiculous side right now for self healing. I'm not sure what his win rate's at or what's going on, but we were kind of ringing the death bell for Malthiel because he had a lot of changes. And it's looking like maybe he's still going to be formidable.
They weren't ringing the death bell because he was literally the death character. That's not what you meant. Like they were going to ring.
I wasn't punning it up.
Did good though, without even trying. I liked it. But hold on now. I didn't know he was in some sort of trouble, nor did I know he was getting buffed.
So
like
in
that.
The PTR, he's got not a rework, but like a major touching.
like Chris major... Hansen level.
So take a seat.
I blame you for that joke, by the way, Bo. That's fresh in my head because of the
take a seat, young Skywalker memes.
Uh-huh, yep. That's all you.
Well done.
Yeah. So the Solvrit, like everything seems to do less damage, but the Death Shroud E is wider, which is great. But like his trait does less percentage damage. It went from 2% health to 1.75% health per second. Mm-hmm. Like everything looks down. So I have to, like, I can't report on it this week, but I can just say that the Malthiels I've run into are sustaining like crazy right now. Hmm. And I think there must be a self-healing talent somewhere in there from what I've seen that just seems, he just seems like these things aren't affecting him all that much.
Is he getting it early? Maybe. Is it happening earlier in his build per game?
It feels earlier, but he just feels just as obnoxious. There isn't... I don't know. But mainly what I was noticing is, and I was playing my Ev or Gazlo, and I couldn't kill him as fast as I used to be able to. And it seemed very strange.
Yeah. Well,
so I think he's still going to be all right.
All right. Well, let's see how he does. Cocking his head to the left and swiping your head off. He's great that way. What else? Let's talk about this lunar loot business, the Chinese New Year crap. Okay. All that. For some reason, John wants one of those ugly dog mounts, and I can't figure out why.
I watched the video, and they were running around, and they're panting, and they look dopey, and
they're horrifying. They're horrifying, those dogs.
They look great. I think you know how there's people who like you put a cat on anything, and it's like way better because of it to them.
Yeah,
I think it turns out that I'm one of those people for dogs.
But is it only a certain, it has to be like this pug face type thing, or is it, can it be any?
No,
dog?
I think it's just dogs, just in general. Like, yeah, we made it a dog. Oh, great. It gets way more interesting to me in that regard. Like even the dumb portrait, like when you go down and look at the portraits you're unlocking, there's a real dumb looking stone dog one. And I'm like, yeah, I like that portrait. That portrait's good.
Yeah.
So
I understand. I understand where you're at. I get it. It's just what I don't like about him is it seems like a cute little puppy face plastered on a scary Asian dynasty monster, you know, like something that wants to kill me and eat me. That's normally like some sort of tiger with a mustache, those like statues you see. But it's a panting dog face. And that combination is weird.
I can't help it. Like, I'm looking at the still image of him right now, and there's just, I don't know, there's a personality I like to him. They seem real stoked to be in the Nexus. They're happy to be there.
Yeah.
And they're ready to go. And also, they're totally dogs. Yeah. Chat room's saying, like, hey, are they not dogs? No, they're dogs. It's Year of the Dog. That's why they're dogs.
Yeah, they're dogs. And they're, Year of the Dog. That's right. That's totally what that is. I mean, duh. You don't even have to think about it. You're right. All right. Well, there's that. What else? Oh, the Brawl this week. So you wrote Mario Kart with a question mark? I've not touched this, so I don't know anything about what it is, but can someone explain?
Follow the link. There's a link, which I didn't see this page till just now.
Yeah.
The Lunar, scroll down to the part where it says, New Brawl, ready your engines for Lunar Rocket Racing.
Oh my gosh. I do want that rocket. That's the mount I'm most interested in, not this puppy shit. But let's scroll down here and look. Oh, by the way, the artist for not this thing that's on this page. Where is it? Is it up top? Yeah. The art that's behind all of this in the rear of the website at the very top. And it's also part of the splash screen in the game. Same artist. What did the one with Hanzo, the dragons one with Hanzo and Alexstrasza kind of with the circle?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My favorite new Blizzard artist. I love whoever that is.
I'm 100% with you.
So good. Oh,
so good.
Yeah. anyway, sorry. Let's go down here and look. Oh, yeah, look at him racing rockets. Mount up, race to the finish in this free-for-all brawl. Collect envelopes to gain abilities and outsmart your opponents. Stay alert because getting hit by a projectile will knock you off your mount. Yeah, that sounds like, like Mario Kart to me.
Pick up envelopes to gain access to different abilities.
That's not in yet. That's in tomorrow or today. Is it already in?
I think it's this week. It's usually later in the week when they change the brawl, but I don't know. I haven't. I clicked the brawl tab so rarely. I'm not sure.
I think it's Thursday. Yeah, I think it's Thursdays. I'm not 100% on this, but anyway, I will. We got to do that. That sounds like fun. Well, it made me burp a little bit when I said it.
Well, hey, Mario Kart is very exciting. I mean, Heroes Kart. Heroes.
What are they calling it? Wait.
Lunar Rocket Brawl.
Lunar. Yeah, there it is.
Lunar Rocket Racing. Sorry, yeah. Rocket Racing.
Of these new skins, the Sylvanas, the Kel'Thas, the Zul'jin, and the Lunar Cassia, who are we rooting for there? Who do we like?
I like the Sylvanas because it's one, Sylvanas, and two, the green one looks like Rogue from X-Men. It's like just combining things I like, so I'm on board with that.
You're a Rogue person, eh? How about you, Bo? Do you like the Zul'jin more than the Kel'Thas? I'm kind of torn on those two.
I don't like any of them.
You don't like any of these. That's right.
I don't dig the Lunar Festival shtick. I thought it'd be like once we get some skins, we're getting more of it. It's fine. You know what? Everyone has to like a thing. I don't have to like everything in the game. It's fine.
No,
I don't
want to
be
mean
about it. But, you know, we talk about things and I'm just like, eh.
Bo, would it change your opinion? I just want to point out one thing and see if it wins Bo over, because I do think the Zul'jin skin is the closest to like a legitimately super awesome skin. If I pointed out that his little crotch cover is actually a tongue.
No, I saw that. I mean, they're good. They're just, I mean, like, so I bought Maiev with gems and I bought all of her skins. I bought the bundle. And I thought about buying the bundle for Lunar stuff. And I said, you know what? I'll just get them boxes. It's just not worth it. It's not good.
Yeah.
The only thing I like is the rocket. I think the rocket's cool.
The rocket is really cool. I need the rocket. But,
the rest of it, it's just not my event. It's okay.
Yeah. You'll have your other. Yeah. The other events are more for Bo. I get it. I see.
I just had my robots in disguise event. So, you know.
Well, Blizzard has just really leaned into this. And here's my thinking. I don't want to be conspiratorial, okay? But maybe, just maybe, they really, really want some of that Chinese game money. And by that, I mean China is a booming market, exploding. Yep. And they have all their own stuff. They're making so many games that have nothing to do with Blizzard, but are mostly based on Blizzard properties, but they're popular on their own and make millions, billions of dollars. But I think they want Heroes to be bigger in that country, and why not appeal to the Lunar Festival? You know, the Chinese.
Does that really work?
I don't know.
For in China, like culturally, because you know, like if they put, imagine if they had a 4th of July event and it was just every hero with a big United States flag. Are you really like, that's cool? I want that. You're like, no, you want the badass looking, like, you know what I mean? It's like China. What we know about you? You like dragons. Here's your dragon skin.
No, that's
like,
a good point.
Like, Chinese people are probably like, give me robots, yo. So it's like, come on.
That's actually a good point. It's a good point.
So that's why I'm like, we don't need to do Lunar. I just don't think we need to do it. Like on all their games, yeah. If I was Bo Morheim, if I was the son of Mike Morheim and I inherited the Blizzard Empire,
yeah,
I'd be like, from henceforth, no more Lunar events in our games.
That'd be
Who
it.
Cares?
Yeah. Well,
I'm
do
a
it.
Tyrant.
They do it in all. Well, they do it in Overwatch, Heroes, and WoW. What else? Wow. That's it, I guess. Everything else. I'm trying to think. Wow. Yeah, Diablo doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Wow.
yeah, I mean, it's fine. I don't begrudge anyone for liking it. Please love these things. But yeah.
Yeah, I understand. I see where you're coming from. I actually really do understand it. All right, well, we're going to try that brawl whenever it's available, and maybe we'll even show it here on the show. Who knows? Or on a post show. All right, that's it for that. Let's dive into this. Got an email here. These are the emails. One of them came from JD, who sent his email in to core@heroesforyou.com, and he says this: "Hey guys, I'm a very casual Heroes player, but I am a Blizzard fanboy. I don't have a lot of time to play, and I rarely play anything but versus AI. Now, I was on the fence about spending actual dollars on space bucks for the Mechaterial skin. But Tuesday night, the last night of the bundles for cash, apparently, I decided to do it. The system for transactions was all messed up from the WoW pre-order, so I was like, I'll just do it in the morning. Well, the morning came, I plopped down my 20 space dollars, or 20 bucks for his space bucks, and when I went to buy the skin, I couldn't. Now you can only get them with the shards or some other nonsensical currency. I'm not buying loot boxes because I hate them. I see no reason why I can't just buy what I want. I want this one thing. Sure, I would have done it earlier, but like I said, I barely play at all. Your show is the only reason I knew these skins were out. I'm sure this is too long of an email for the show, but I had to get it out only to the people I know who would appreciate it. Thanks, and I may not play much, but I listen every week. Sincerely, JD. So JD is exemplary of the kind of player base the game has. The game has people who play constantly and love it and invest a ton and buy a lot and blah, blah, blah. And then there's some in the middle, and there's a bunch on the fringe who check it out occasionally, like what we talk about, pop in, say, ooh, I really like that one thing. And I think he has a freaking point. Like, it is prohibitive for him to want a thing in the game if he wants to just get it. Like, having timers on stuff and get it now while it lasts on a bunch of fake inventory that's really just digital nothing. You know what I mean? And then, yeah. Listen, this is not the number one example of this problem. This game, it's a industry-wide thing. Blizzard has adopted some of this stuff for their free-to-play model. It doesn't get too much under my skin, again, because of how invested I am, but what are you doing for the casuals or the outsiders? Like, that's the part that I worry about, and JD's one of those guys. So toss it around. What do you think? John, is JD up a tree or is he down a river?
No, I think Blizzard has a real issue with this game, and you know, we like them, we like this game, we do a show about this game. I don't want to be too harsh, but at the same time, like, I constantly see people complaining about, like, hey, you guys make it so hard to want to give you money, and I think that's a real problem that Heroes genuinely has, because, and this might turn into a bigger discussion, and I don't know if we want to save it for another show or what, but friend we all know, Ro, I saw him on Twitter a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago,
yeah.
And he said, I wonder if Heroes breaks even. Not, I wonder if Heroes is doing really well. I wonder if Heroes is profitable. Like, he was setting the bar at breaks even for Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, none of us know. None of us know for sure. Heroes could be insanely profitable, and we don't know it. We get very little evidence. But I don't think he's the only person that looks at Heroes from the outside and makes the assumption that it's not doing super well. And I think a lot of that comes from how the store is built, how they make money, how they present a lot of the things that they do for money, decisions that are made. These things where, like, oh, well, now we have gem-only skins. Like, a lot of this stuff sends a message, whether it's true or not, that the game desperate for money.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying that's the case, but messaging is important, because when you ask people to, hey, come into this game and give us money and invest in a thing, for us, that's easy. We care a great deal about this game. We're highly invested. But let's say all these Paragon people who, granted, they're getting treated pretty well, they're getting a full reimbursement and all that, but they're looking for a new MMO.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not presenting a confident atmosphere saying, hey, come invest in our game, give us money, join the crew, basically. If you're presenting an air of, oh man, we're hurting for people, they're not going to do it. People aren't going to flock to your game if they think it's a couple months away from going down the drain. I don't think that's what's going on with Heroes, but I do think sometimes that's the vibe it gives off. And I think that's a problematic vibe.
I do. And I think it's two vibes. It's that vibe, but I also think the exact same thing can be interpreted as a whole opposite vibe, but still just as damaging. That vibe is not so much we're desperate for money, the opposite. We're hooty tooty fruity, and the only way to get in is cool boy bucks that you got to buy.
Yeah.
And so either way, it's a bad scene, or it can be. And I wish that was more inviting. You know, I wish there was a way to say, Because it also seemed desperate to say, come on in and have five free things. We're awesome. Come in. You know, because all of these can be interpreted that way. I just wish, for me, that just the big blocker is like gems and freaking shards and, you know, all the shit in between. Like, just give me a currency, you know.
What's funny about this is that he was late for the deal. So he can't. I just logged into the game. I really shouldn't have. It kind of ruined my computer a little bit. You guys can hear me okay, right?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. But I tried to look to see. I mean, I've already bought them all, so I can't test it out.
Yeah.
But I think you can only get it with shards. Like, the only path right now, now that it's over, is to buy loot boxes and grind up shards and maybe get lucky and get one shade of it. It kind of sucks. It's a feel bad moment. It does suck. To be one day off. And you know what? Maybe was there a problem with the Blizzard purchases and heroes the day of the WoW stuff? The WoW,
yeah, all their purchasing was screwy that day. Everything, yeah. All the transaction the WoW servers were down. Yeah.
So I mean, that's, I don't know. That's not a good look.
You know what else isn't a good look? Can I just say this real quick? Is not a good look. It's not to do with this game at all. But for me anyway, a bad look is, pre-order WoW. Oh well, cool. What do I get? A boost to 110 and access to all the new allied races early before the next expansion hits. Oh, okay, cool. Let's do that. Get in. Go to get the one I want. Sorry, you can't play the effing guy because you didn't finish Suramar quests and you didn't do this other shit, but thanks for your money and the early access. That sucks.
You have to finish Suramar?
You have to finish Suramar. You have to do the whole Suramar thing and you have to have, you have to be what?
How do you finish
Exalted? Exalted. I think you have to be maxed out. It could just be revered, but
I think it's Exalted. I'm pretty sure. And that sucks.
Each of the four races that are in there right now have a faction they're tied to that you need to be Exalted with.
I played a ton at launch, and I'm sure I'm not Exalted.
Oh, there's no way you are. I guarantee it.
And I've spent a lot of time. That is.
I know. Isn't that lame? I mean, that's not like that's really? The game. That's not the game I'm paying for. But when I get the game proper, it's the same rule. I still have to have the Suramar rep, as far as I know, at launch. I think I still...
No.
I will say this. The 110 boost, if you boost, it gives you access to it. I think. Actually, don't quote me on that.
Oh, interesting. Wait. If I boost a regular character, I'll then have access?
So here's what I did, and... Sorry to go on a WoW tangent.
No. This is good.
I'm doing a WoW tangent on a hero show. It usually goes the way around. But here's what I did. So I play primarily Horde. I don't really have a high-level alliance tune at all. Now, I am Exalted with all the factions that this thing is tied to.
Yeah.
So I have all the rep that I would need. But I went in on my Horde tune. I was able to start on the two Horde races right away. I wasn't able to do that with Alliance because you have to go through the quest to unlock it.
Mm-hmm.
I boosted an Alliance character up to 110, and I was immediately able to do that content.
Oh.
And I don't have an Alliance character that is up to that level rep-wise. Now, it could be that because I have it on my Horde account, it still counts. I don't know.
Oh, it could be account-wide.
I was able
not,
to... Yeah.
Yeah. I got to look into that, because if that's the case, I'll probably end up doing that, but that annoys me because it means I'm just burning a 110 boost on a thing just to get another thing that I might have 110 boosted on its own. Grr!
Yeah, but if you 110 boost the allied race, you don't get the armor. I don't know if you care about
that.
No,
it's not as much as you do. I mean,
that's 100% accurate.
Yeah. I haven't tried into there. Problem.
Yeah, because I know that the way it is with me with even skins and things, in this game and Heroes, like, I'll buy a thing, I'll be stoked that I got it, and then I'm kind of tired of looking at it after a while anyway, so it's like, meh. I mean, I know I always can go back to it, but I'm not much of a, like, gotta collect everything sort of dude, so that's less of a factor for me, but it's just
you
kind of a
bummer. You can't wear all the skins and ride all the mounts at the same time.
Right, and the bummer for me is to say, hey, give us $49 that we will now sit on in our bank and earn interest on until next October or September. And what you'll get for that is the ability to play these races. Oh, sorry, you can't play these races. Like, it's just a shitty thing. I'm going to go off on Friday on the instance about it, because I find it super obnoxious. And maybe
can I ask another question? Because yeah. I haven't played WoW, I think, been over a year now. Yeah. I haven't really logged in. So I'm not sure what's going on. I listened to the instance. Still not sure what's going on. It's a great show.
Oh, great. We're doing our job then. Great.
No, I'm just kidding. But like the why is everyone bragging about being an alpha?
Oh, that's an every time thing.
Yeah, that's today. The alpha
was
out.
In the state the game was kind of like poo.
It is.
Like, why would like?
Well, okay.
Yeah, I get to play the game and like because and now this is Blizzard. I played the Overwatch beta. It was basically launch ready when I got in, as far as I could tell.
Yeah, that's so the same with WoW. WoW is polished to the point that this is probably more like a beta release in alpha. You know, they call it alpha. It's more like beta. Their betas are more like release candidates. Like, they're always a little better.
Like, I get being excited for it, but I'm just like. Should I want to be in the alpha? You know, this is like.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm just wondering what an alpha is. I've never been in an alpha.
If I got, I played the friends and family like
status badge.
Yeah, I played the friends and family alpha for the original Warcraft release, and I was in that friends and family alpha in like early 03. And I remember, I remember it being pretty rad that I'd gotten into that. But all this way down the road, it's like, eh, it's not that big a deal.
No, it's cool, but I'm just saying it's not in a state. Like, is it in a playable state? It just sounds to me like you're playing this half made, like, you know. There's a point where the game is playable, but needs to be tested for beta testing, which is bugs and, mm-hmm. and server load and stuff like that. I was just asking because I was like, is the zone like half the zone and there's this big space, there's no polygons or whatever.
Well, I played, sometimes you're actually saying that right. I remember, John, you may remember this as well, but the alpha or the beta, I can't remember which, for Warlords. There was a whole bunch of intro content where you were kind of in some in-game cutscenes going through the portal again and all that.
Yeah, cutscene here.
Yeah, and it would say cutscene here. Or you'd get the full cutscene, and then the giant dragon you had to fight was this non-textured ball of polygons floating in the air for no reason.
I remember they were changing dollars for to have that big spire right in the middle of it. Yeah. And for the longest time, it had no textures. It just looked like somebody dropped a giant formed piece of clay in the middle of Dalaran.
Yeah, which is really funny. But from that, you know, from that perspective. But functionally, the games work pretty well in the state. So I have it. I haven't decided if I'm going to install it because it's another 50 gig of data.
This isn't an NDA thing either. Like, you can, people are going to play it on stream. And stuff
I
like
think
that.
So. I don't remember. I assume so. They can't control
it. I would say that's the two things people get up and all excited and all hot and bothered about the alpha for is people who want to stream it that are like, oh, this will get views and this will get attention and all of that. So I got to do it. I got to have it. And then I think some people just, it's like a status thing. Like, oh, I got into it. Yeah. I'm going to tell people that.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of people that are like, man, I just can't wait to get in there and start bug reporting.
Right. Yeah, like, I get the appeal of being in early and all. It was just the alpha. Like, what? It's just I never see it. I usually see I'm in the Blizzard beta for X game, and everyone's like, yay. And there's certainly been people in alphas, but I haven't seen, like, that hot. And maybe that's just my ignorance, like, on social media.
Yeah, numbers. People.
Oh, my God, I'm an alpha.
It's
like,
definitely a badge, honor badge.
It's like, oh, my God, I've got a turd that has yet to be polished in the ivory or something. You know, like, it. Good for you. Congratulations.
No, I'm up to about 13. Yeah. I'm sorry. There's three more in here. So what is that? 14, 15, 16 emails in the instance account asking me for alpha access. I don't even work at Blizzard and they're asking me for alpha access. That's how weird it is.
That's crazy.
So whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah, Blizzard says it's okay to share your username and password with people as long as, you know. They say they're trustworthy.
A rule you should live by. Also, I don't like spoiling myself on a bunch of content I'm going to play anyway. And so I usually will get into one of these experiences and go, yeah. Okay, I'm out. And then I'll go back in when it releases. Because I'm a terrible tester. Don't have me test your game. But also, thank you, Blizzard, for the alpha access. All right.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting me. Yeah.
It's related to Heroes. I think none of us barely touch PTR either. I can't do it. I don't have the discipline.
I don't either. I really don't. It's too messed up in there. Like, especially this game in Heroes, it's just so weird with PTR because everybody's playing Maiev. Great. Well, what does that do?
Oh, speaking of which, I totally found a really dumb bug in Heroes right now, and I haven't reported it. This will be my official reporting of a bug I found.
All right.
Sweet.
You guys ready?
Yep.
AI Leoric is not able, like, when he does his little, like, ghost walk ability, I can't remember what it's called, the AI version doesn't move. He just activates it and stands there.
Really? Really?
Awesome. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I saw in an AI game him do it 5 times, and every time he just stood there, and then when it ran out, he just reappeared exactly where he was.
I kind of love that for, I don't know why. I think that's great. All right, we'll get on the Blizzard and fix that, will you? That's going to do it for the show. Big thanks, by the way, to JD for that email. If you'd like to send us your own emails, you surely can. Just send them to, what is it? I forgot. Oh, core at heroesforyou.com. That's core at heroesforyou.com. A reminder that if you like this show, it is entirely fan-funded. We don't get any kind of income from any other area, and it's really, really important to us to keep the show alive and thriving and growing and doing rad things. So if you are so inclined to chuck just a little bit our way, like a dollar, imagine that, less than anything else you can buy in this world except a 99-cent song on some crappy music service. And you don't even care about that song after a while, but you sure care about this show. So think of it. Do it. Patreon.com/core show. John just wrote up another fantastic mailed to your home version of a Dear Martha letter. And those go out to people at a certain level. So to learn about that and all everything else you could do, go to patreon.com/core show. Heroesforyou.com is our website. We are in the game at in the Frog Pants clan. There's not a clan system, but you can join us by hitting join Frog Pants. Lots of people to play with in there. So do that. You can find us on Twitter at Core Heroes. John_Jagger, Scott Johnson, and Bo Schwartz. That will do it for us. We're going to have some Hero League games after this, so stick around if you want to watch those. For me, for Bo, for John, we'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.